This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, so a pretty rough day for a set of brothers, Michael, the Diggs brothers. Let's get to the, do you want the mild story first and then the bad one?
Let's make it mild first.
Mild first, Mike?
Let's build it up.
Cowboys have released cornerback Trayvon Diggs, according to ESPN. Okay. Whatever. Just kind of a story. They're out of the playoffs. They don't care.
I can dig that.
This one, yikes. New England Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs is facing a felony charge of strangulation and a misdemeanor charge of assault from an alleged incident on December 2nd. The motion hearing took place at 11 o'clock Eastern today at the Dedham, Massachusetts District Court. WCVB TV reports that a judge is deciding whether to impound the court documents ahead of Diggs' arraignment January 23rd, which is the Friday before the AFC Championship game. Here's what the Patriots said in a statement. The New England Patriots are aware of the accusations that have been made regarding Stephon Diggs. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon. We will continue to gather information and will cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities and the NFL as necessary. Out of respect for all parties involved and given that this is an ongoing legal matter, we will have no further comment at this time. So Diggs' attorney said he categorically denies these allegations. They're unsubstantiated, uncorroborated, and were never investigated because they did not occur. The timing and motivation for making the allegations is crystal clear. They are the direct result of an employee-employer financial dispute that was not resolved to the employee's satisfaction. Stephon looks forward to establishing the truth in a court of law. What is that? Employee satisfaction. Resolved to the employee satisfaction. So does Diggs have an employee? Does he have people, like maybe a team working with him? Maybe his agency, perhaps?
I was guessing like maybe he has an assistant, like say, I was assisting you and I said, I bought this amount of money and you didn't pay me this amount of money and you choked me or something.
Oh, man.
I don't want to get too deep into this because I don't know too much, and strangulation is bad and it's all
not good.
Alleged.
Not good. Well,
so we'll let the lawyers juries deal with it.
What will the NFL do? I mean, the NFL, Mike, keep in mind, the NFL has never been a guilty until proven or innocent until proven guilty. The NFL acts a lot, and they sometimes do their own thing. Is he playing? He has 82 receptions for 970 yards and 4 touchdowns on a Patriots team that could potentially still get the number one seed. Not that that matters when it comes to this kind of story, but wow. That is, that's a pretty rough story, and we'll see how, there's just not a lot of details on it right now. I mean, we have the attorney saying it's an employee-employer type of situation, so that leads me to believe, like you said, maybe some kind of, not a secretary, but like maybe his agency that works for him. I don't know. But again, he is facing a felony charge of strangulation and a misdemeanor charge of assault from an alleged incident on December 2nd. So We'll see how that one goes. The Philip Rivers story is over, Mike. It was fun while it lasted. The Colts will start Riley Leonard over Philip Rivers in their finale. Philip Rivers, according to ESPN, second act has come to an end. Why not just let him finish it out? Or do you want to see what you have in Riley Leonard? Wasn't he Notre Dame, right?
Why not put Riley Leonard in there anyway? Like, why didn't you put him in there instead of Philip Rivers?
Well, they still had a shot at the playoffs when they got Philip Rivers. And so they were thinking, okay, you know, with his relationship, with Rivers, with Shane Steichen, his knowledge of the offense, they thought that gave us our best chance to win and to maybe make something of this season.
I hope this kid goes off. I hope he goes off and makes the coaches look bad.
Yeah, you're saying you didn't like the decision to go get Philip Rivers? I guess you and I have never really talked about it. I thought it was definitely a...
He hadn't played in 5 years.
Yeah, but wasn't Riley Leonard Notre Dame? And he was okay.
Maybe the Colts were punishing him for Notre Dame sitting out.
Yeah, no one trusts Notre Dame. Not even players that aren't even there anymore. But how would you feel if you're Riley Leonard? Like, we think so little of you starting at quarterback. We're going to go get a guy that has not been training for 5 years at this level. And we're just going to pull
brain,
him off of
though.
His couch. If Bo Nix went down and you were in a situation where, I mean, the Broncos are definitely unique in this regard, though. I do think they're pretty happy with their backup situation with Jarrett Stidham. But what if Bo Nix went down and Jarrett Stidham went down and Peyton Manning's like, I could give it a shot. How would you feel?
My foot feels good. I can still throw. Did you see the my YouTube channel?
My 5 yard out that I just drilled. My 5 yard out route.
Come get me. Would you
sign up for that? If I'm telling you right now, knocking on wood, Bo Nix breaks his leg right now. Jarrett Stidham goes in for practice and then he does something. And the Broncos threw it out there that they contacted Peyton Manning and Manning's considering it. How would you feel? Would you sign off on that?
I would not sign off on that. I'd say there are plenty of practice squatters out there that can, I mean, Philip Lindsay. Would you like to throw some balls?
Philip Lindsay, running back?
That's a joke.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
You take Philip Lindsay over Peyton Manning?
He did throw a pass or two.
Yeah, I think he started at quarterback because they ran the Wildcat in that game he played where the Broncos didn't have any quarterbacks.
Yeah. And the actual quarterback in that game was 1 for 9.
Was that Hinton? Was it Tyler Hinton?
I remember his name.
Was it Tyler Hinton?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame for that.
Yeah. They said, here, let's take your gloves and put you in the Hall of Fame.
Why? Why is he in the Hall of Fame for that?
Because the
it's
NFL
not, like,
is
Hall of Fame
stupid.
Worthy. Like, oh, a receiver played quarterback when they had no quarterbacks on the roster. It's unique.
He had like 2 days of practice.
And he's not like in the Hall of Fame. His jersey and glove, like for that moment, is in the Hall of Fame. So does he get to say he's a Hall of Famer now?
No, he could say, for 3 hours, I performed as a Hall of Famer.
But he wasn't good. Anyway, I digress.
He was a quarterback as a freshman in college. And he was a practice squad receiver. And by the way, everybody loved the kid. Everybody loved him, and it was sad when he got cut like 2 years later.
Sean McVay says the Rams starters will play Week 18 against the Cardinals. Now they're out of contention for the NFC West title. Said that they're still going to play. Obviously, they're a playoff team. But I'm going to go through this, like the playoff watch here. And what it means to everybody. But the Rams could still gain a little bit, I believe, right? Let's see. I had this in my notes somewhere. But Sean McVay is saying, no, we're going all at it here. We're gonna see how far we can move up potentially. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Rams can't win the NFC West, but they can secure the number five seed with a win. They could have with a win on Monday and a win in Week 18. So they might be, maybe they are. That's as good as they can get right now, Mike. Yeah, they're 11-5. Yeah, I don't know if they can really move up much.
They are no longer my favorites in the NFC.
Is it Seattle?
I'm saying that Seattle's probably the favorite now. The Rams have just fallen off a cliff.
Mike, can I do this now since we're 1 week out? Can I do this now? Do I have your permission?
No.
If the playoffs were to start today, here's how it would look. I can do that now, right?
You said I can do that after week eight. Like halfway through the season.
Especially, so I can do it now.
Well, any sport, halfway through the season, you can do that.
I can do it right now. So right now, the Broncos would have the number one seed, the first round bye. Pittsburgh would be playing Houston. The Chargers would be playing the Jaguars. The Bills would be playing the Patriots. On the NFC side, it would be the Panthers and Niners, the Rams and the Eagles, and the Packers and the Bears. Woo-hoo, Faith, are you out there? That's how that could look if things just settle the way they are right now. But there's a lot up in the air, Mike. As far as games that mean a lot here, the Bills have the Jets this weekend. Obviously, the Jets have nothing to play for. The Bills are guaranteed a playoff spot, but they're out of the running for the AFC East title. They can move as high as the number five seed. They could dip as they are right now. They could stay at number seven. A win in week 18 alone doesn't guarantee them the fifth seed. Josh Allen was a little wobbly in the last game at the end of their loss to the Eagles. Do you play Josh Allen this weekend? You could move up to five, but a win doesn't guarantee that. You need other things to happen.
You know me. I want to win every game.
Yeah, but I want Josh Allen to play in the playoffs if I'm Sean McDermott.
For me, I'm a fan. I am a fan. I want to win every game, so I play all my players. I'm not a head coach or a GM, so I don't make those decisions. So I can be a fan and say I want to play all my players.
There's no way if the Broncos had nothing to gain this weekend, if they'd already locked up, if they would have beat Jacksonville, they would already have the number one seed.
And they wouldn't be playing all their players.
I wouldn't be playing Bo Nix. I wouldn't be playing Patrick Surtain. I wouldn't be playing Nick Benito. I wouldn't be playing Cortland Sutton. I don't even know if I'm playing R.J. Harvey with how important he's been. So what else is there? The Chargers, they could move up. So they're saying no Herbert and no to a few other starters in this game against Denver. The line went from like it was 2.5 to 7.5 to I think it's 11.5 now. The Chargers are guaranteed a playoff spot. They could climb as high as number five with a win over Denver, but they also need some help. So basically, that's Harbaugh saying, we'd rather not risk that much for the shot, for not even a guarantee at the number five spot. That could be a hell of a matchup right there, though. Chargers and Jags? Who you got in that game? Jags might win. I don't know. Chargers looked really good to start the season, and they've kind of been up and down, more down. That would be a really good game. Let's see what else. The Packers at Minnesota. The Packers are guaranteed the number seven seed. They can't move higher, so they're locked into the playoffs. So they're going to be resting everybody. Let's see. The Pats. Pats are going to be playing. Will they be? I'm guessing they're going to be playing with Stephon Diggs. Because they can still win the number one seed. If Denver loses to the Chargers and the Pats beat Miami, they're going to still be playing for something. The Commanders-Eagles game. Commanders are out, obviously. The Eagles have won the NFC East. They're guaranteed either the number two or number three seed. They can move up to the second seed with a win and a loss by the Bears. They could rest, too. So there's a lot of backup situations going on. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that one's the key game this weekend, folks. The winner of this game claims the AFC North title and a playoff berth with home field advantage for the wild card. The loser goes home. That is the biggest game on the docket, outside of obviously what the Broncos can do against the Chargers. But it's that's a playoff game. this weekend. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Playoff starts now. So we're either going to see a hobbled Lamar Jackson. I don't even know if I think he's playing. The way it's been with him for the last 6 weeks is, you know, something is always up with him injury-wise, and then they decide to play him last minute. So that one's going to be fun. 20 minutes after the hour, Michael, at the bottom of the hour, Chris Dempsey is going to join us from Altitude TV, and we'll get into the latest good information on Nikola Jokic. Sounds like at least 4 weeks. Could have been much worse. But how do the Nuggets go forward from here for the rest for the month of January, essentially? We'll talk to Mr. Dempsey. Haven't talked to him in a while, so looking forward to catching up with him. Keep it right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
What's happening in your community? Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Stay. Still doing this, Andre.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out.
Am I Snoop Dogg and are you D.R.E.? Dre?
I am the doctor.
Dr. Dre? Okay, I'll be Snoop Dogg and you're Dr. Dre.
The word dog.
Okay, very good. Coming up next, we're going to have a great friend of mine, great friend of the station and the show. For many years, we just haven't had him on in a while. But Chris Dempsey, they did a great job in the post game trying to react and actually go through the game like it meant something after hearing the news about Joker. We're going to talk to Mr. Dempsey coming up next. Also, what this means for this team in a pretty significant month of January now without Joker. When can we expect Aaron Gordon? When can we expect Christian Brown, Cam Johnson? We'll get the latest from Christopher Dempsey coming up next. But first, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Minutes after the hour, Mike, we're not getting Mr. Dempsey here.
I'm calling.
Okay, I just shot him a text. You do have the right number, right?
I have the number that's in the book.
Okay, let me. I'm sharing it with you, and just going to make sure you have it. We'd love to get Dempsey on. He's a busy guy. Listen, with the news of the day today, maybe they've got other things that they have to get to. So Christopher Dempsey of Altitude TV, we'll see if we can get him on the program. But if you are if you were living under a rock for the last few hours, we did get good news on Joker that it's going to be 4 weeks, at least 4 weeks. So, we'll take it. At this point, you know, you're just kind of hopeful that it's just going to be the 4 weeks. He said, Chris, coming in with the text on our Kendall Hinton conversation. Just did some research. Kendall Hinton became the first non-quarterback to start the position since Tom Matty did so for the Baltimore Colts in 1965. Both have wristbands at the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, Northern New Mexico are now 3-7, getting a fought win, 104-100, following the CSU exhibition game. Thank you for that, he said, Chris. That, so with the Kendall Hinton thing, does he get to go and say, I'm a Like, I'm a Hall of Famer. Got a wristband in the Hall of Fame, so I would be saying that. Yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame. Because technically he is.
I mean, technically he is in the Hall of Fame, but he's not a Hall of Famer because he doesn't have that copper bust of his.
But he can say, I'm in the Hall of Fame. And if you ask details, then he would have to give you details. But, you know,
I'm in the Hall of Fame, but I wasn't voted to be in the Hall of Fame because I don't have the stats for it.
So again, Shams posting out this morning that Nikola Jokic has been diagnosed with a hyperextension in his left knee and will miss at least 4 weeks. And he notes that that's an immense sigh of relief as tests show the three-time NBA MVP's knee ligaments are intact.
Maybe they should have the same doctor as the UNC Bears. He might come back early.
Oh, that's a good point, because Quinn Denker was supposed to be out for, like, at first I thought maybe all of it, and then I thought, well, he won't be back till February.
And then he said missed, April Fools.
He missed, like, two games. Quinn Denker missed, like, two games, Mike, after breaking his hand, and then he put up 33 points against the Colorado Buffaloes. That's cool. Just finished up, too, this morning, my two-man game podcast with the one and only Steve Smiley. And I did, I'm not asking him about this in the season, Mike, but Mike, come on. If Tad Boyle calls it quits at the end of the season, see, you just got a new athletic director wanting to make some splashes. Does Steve Smiley get an interview at Colorado?
Yes, he does. He definitely does.
Even with this new AD that, was it Fernando Lovo? Is it Fernando Lovo? Former Lobo?
I only remember the first name.
he was at New Mexico. He's got a really impressive resume, seriously. But is that kind of AD the kind of guy that would take a dip back into the local pool again? Because that's what CU did last time, right? It's been a long time since they hired a head coach, and that head coach came out of right here in Greeley. Greeley guy, Greeley Central legend. Then played college basketball for the Jayhawks, was pretty good. And then he took the UNC job, and they got better every year. And then he got his dream job, a chance to go be the head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. And listen, I like Tad. Tad, I didn't love his Super Bowl comment. You know, he said, this is CSU Super Bowl when they played him. That's a CU thing to do, man. Like, that's what all the fan base says every time the football team plays each other. Almost kind of saying it was a way for CSU to be more motivated because that game meant more to them than CU. I just don't like that. Well, it was your Super Bowl, so it means more to you. That's a weird thing in my brain.
It was also UNC's Super Bowl, too.
Well, yeah, is it both? Was it both their Super Bowls?
Yeah, they're 0-2 in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, UNC wants to beat CU. But UNC Super Bowl is winning the Big Sky Conference. Because beating CU does nothing for them. It makes them look good, and it's great on the resume. But it does nothing for them in terms of getting into the big dance. They're not in the, you know, what their metrics say. And their quads and quad one, they're not in that. They simply have to win a tournament, a conference tournament in March when it comes down to it. So, yes, beating CU is historic. They haven't done it in almost 90 years, Michael. But it's not. Try Mr. Dempsey now. We're calling him right now. We're getting him on the phone. He's ready to go for us, Mike. You must have been calling the wrong number. No, it's not Michael's fault. I think Michael should go, texter here says, I think Michael should go to Canton and visit the Hall of Fame, and while touring inside, he can text his crew, hey, I'm in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I think so.
I'll be in the Colorado Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
give him a hat.
Yeah, I'm sure. Joining me now, great friend of mine. It's been way too long. That is my fault, but he's a busy man. And Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, first off, let me just say this. You guys, the crew last night, Obviously, that's a difficult task, but I was glued to the TV, desperately hoping for somebody to give us an update on Joker. But you guys still have a job to do at the end of the day. You still got to tell us how the game went and what went down. And, man, to kind of refocus, hats off to you, man. This is why you're one of the best in the business.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's funny. I said to the producer, maybe after the third segment of the show, I said, man, this is a sad show.
Yeah, but you were, like, speaking for all Nuggets fans. Like, nothing was – you guys, I thought you handled it perfectly because everything you were saying is exactly what Nuggets fans were feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was a great unknown at that point in time. And you just – you know, the thing about Nikola Jokic going down is that he never does. You know, he doesn't go down and stay down. He's just kind of – we just have gotten so used to him – pretty much always being here. He's never played fewer than 69 games in a season in his career. And that was the lowest. I mean, everything else is 70 or above. And so we're just used to seeing him be on the court all the time. And if he's injured, maybe he misses a game or two here and there. But by and large, he's on the court. And so that was obviously a very concerning scene in Miami. Turns out that it's probably the best case scenario, given what we saw. And, so the Nuggets will just have to figure it out without him. But, yeah, it's an interesting show to do it that way because you got to do it on the fly. And we're all trying to really quickly gather your thoughts and then say the things that need to be said on TV and then also address the game to whatever. But he was the story of the game. You know, the Nuggets got blown out. And the story was the MVP, the three-time MVP, got hurt. And at that point, we didn't know the severity. So yeah, it just it was definitely an interesting show for sure.
I was glued to it, man. Again, you know, I'm a diehard fan, so I'm watching as much altitude as I possibly can. We did get good news, though. It sounds like, you know, it's not as bad. Like you mentioned, hyperextension in his left knee, going to miss at least 4 weeks. That's obviously what you're on your side of things too, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt, and. You know, look, that means he misses all of January for sure. And, you know, at that point, Brady, I wouldn't be surprised because once you get into February, you're talking about 5 games, I think, before the All-Star break.
Mm.
6 games. 6 games before the All-Star break. So, do you rush him back for any of those, or do you just give him that and then the 8-day break for the All-Star and then bring him back after All-Star? So we'll see. I mean, it all depends on how quickly he heals and how he feels and how stable the knee is after 4 weeks. But certainly there's a universe out there where when he is evaluated, after 4 weeks, that then you have to have a little bit of ramp up time, and he's not going to be able to be conditioning, right? His condition is not going to be great because he hurt his leg. So you can't run and keep yourself in condition. So there's just a lot of steps that he's got to go through. But so I wouldn't be surprised to not see him until after the All-Star break. But if he's a quick healer and they can get him ramped up and ready to roll, then maybe just a couple of games prior to the All-Star break.
Well, the optimistic part of my brain was like, maybe he'll be back right at that 4-week mark, and he's back Sunday, February 1st against Oklahoma City. But I like your idea probably better, to be safe.
Yeah, and I think you got to be cautious with these things. I mean, here's what I've learned over, in just about 30 years of covering sports of all kinds, and that is you can't use one example and apply it to another necessarily. And it's to be all these athletes, their bodies are different. They respond to treatment different. They heal differently. So, the 4-week window, I know, from a medical standpoint of getting a person who has extended a knee back to a space that, that's the foundation timetable of things. But now you're dealing with an individual, and is that individual healing faster? Does he need more time? Are there conditioning issues? They're it's just kind of extra. So that's why it's very difficult for me. I usually try to never pinpoint anything because, you know, we've seen people like Adrian Peterson come back from an ACL super fast and run for like 2,000 yards. And then we've seen others miss, you know, miss more than a year and not come back very well. So it just kind of depends. But I think in this case, it doesn't matter when you drop Nikola back into your team because the minute that you put him back in, you instantly become, at worst, the second best team in the NBA. And so what you need is to just be sure that when he comes back that he can hit the ground running as much as possible and that then it will be a mad dash to the end of the season, right? Because, you know, they're going to be up and down a little bit, obviously, without him. So it'll be a mad dash to finish with the highest seed that you can, and then you'll be instantly one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs. Somebody is going to have to play the Nuggets in a space that they didn't think the Nuggets were going to be. And so it will be very interesting in the playoffs.
Well, and so as far as other injury updates, I mean, this has been a rough year. Take the Joker thing out, and you are already down three starters, Christian Brown going down, Aaron Gordon going down, then recently Cam Johnson. What about those guys? When can we expect all of those dudes to be back in the mix?
Well, I would say Christian Brown is the closest. We might even see Christian Brown somewhere on this road trip.
Nice.
So we'll start with him. He did a lot of good cutting and a lot of explosive work prior to the Miami Heat game. And if he feels as good as he looked to my eye, then I got to believe that, you know, we'll see him in short order here. Not necessarily tomorrow, but, you know, maybe soon after that. Aaron Gordon, I think, is just a little bit longer. You know, when I watch him, the stuff that I see him do, he's moving around a little bit more. But his is a little bit more delicate situation because he's got hamstrings now in both legs and he's got calves. And so they really have to be careful with Aaron. And he plays a style of basketball that puts a lot of stress and strain on those soft tissue muscles. And so, David Adelman seemed to think that he is close, but we'll see with him. And I, again, because he continues to, have setbacks or re-injure or injure the other hamstring, you got to really take it slow with Aaron to get him back into a space because he's a very important player to your championship hopes. So for him, I'm not super sure. He is moving around a little bit better, but – I will just that'll just be a little bit of a wait and see with Aaron Gordon. And then I think we're still a few weeks away from Cameron Johnson. I mean his timetable was out pretty far, so we might not see him until around All Star break either. So it's you're right. I mean there's snake bitten and then there's what the Nuggets are going through right now.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
There's so many. I've never seen four starters out of five on a basketball team be injured. And that's and not just out for a couple of games, but out for huge chunks of time. And that's what the Nuggets are dealing with. And so we'll see if they can keep themselves afloat.
Chris Dempsey joining us, Altitude TV. Last one for you, Chris. The Nuggets are 22-10 right now. And so we're saying, yeah, probably all of January, maybe even before, right after the All-Star break, we see Joker back. What's a realistic hope or expectation? I mean, can this hope this team's floating with a 500, flirting with a 500 type record, or what should be a regular fan's expectations of this team while Joker's out?
So, I think as long as they can get Christian and AG back, sooner than later, I would expect that this team can play 500 basketball at the very least until, you get Cam and Joker back, because there's still a really good players on this team and really very effective players with a super smart coach. And, you can see your way. Nothing has to be pretty on a night to night basis. Right. So, in subsequent weeks, if I'm on here and we're like, whoa, the defense wasn't very good. Yeah. Probably it's not going to be very good. Or whoa, they had 2 4-minute droughts where they didn't score. Yep. That's probably going to happen as well. But at the end of the game, did you have the higher score? And if you did, then you just go cool and let's move on to the next one. And so, This team isn't devoid of talent, you know, and so I would think that they could, keep themselves playing 500 basketball. If they do that, then their record will still be pretty good by the time everybody returns, and then they can go about the business of trying to run down whatever teams are ahead of them in the Western Conference standings, and then going into the playoffs as a full and hopefully healthy unit.
Well, we'll see, man. It's going to be an interesting start to the new year for the Denver Nuggets. Chris Dempsey, always appreciate you, my man. Okay, I texted you earlier, but I would love to keep doing this again, catch up with you more often, man. The whole show needs you, and you're like our Batman. You know, we're throwing up the signal here. We need Chris Dempsey.
Put up the back signal. I'll be there.
We need the Batman on to talk about the Joker. How about that? That's what we need. All right, Chris. Hey, man. Great work again, as always. Happy New Year to you and your wonderful family, and we'll look to catch up with you in 2026.
You as well, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude Sports. 49 minutes after the hour. Here's a question. Does that disqualify Joker from a fourth MVP this year? We'll talk about it next.
Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Okay, Mike. Joker has played in 31 games. You have to play 65 games to qualify for the MVP. So if he misses 20 games, Mike, if he gets close to that, then yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, there's 82 games in the regular season, Michael. If he misses 20, then, you know, that's 62 possible games. That's just assuming that he would miss just 20 games. So we'll talk about that coming up. Quarterback Toilet Bowl, last one of the year. And we have a very tight race going on. So we'll bring the fellas in. The dude down the hall, dancing with himself, Tanner Schwint Show, going to be on the program here coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.